The following is a Sunday feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 4, text number 15. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari. Recorded on August 19th, 2012, in Austin, Texas, USA.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
Evam gyatva kritam karma. Purvair api mumukshubi. Kuru karmaiva tasmatvang. Purvai purvataram kritam. Evam gyatva kritam karma. Purvair api mumukshubi. Kuru karmaiva tasmatvang. Purvai purvataram kritam.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. All the liberated souls in ancient times acted with this understanding of my transcendental nature. This is Lord Krishna speaking to Arjuna. Therefore, you should perform your duty following in their footsteps. Purport. There are two classes of men. Some of them are full of polluted material things within their hearts, and some of them are materially free. Krishna consciousness is equally beneficial for both of these persons. Those who are full of dirty things can take to the line of Krishna consciousness for a gradual cleansing process following the regulative principles of devotional service. Those who are already cleansed of the impurities may continue to act in the same Krishna consciousness so that others may follow their exemplary activities and thereby be benefited. Foolish persons or neophytes in Krishna consciousness often want to retire from activities without having knowledge of Krishna consciousness. Arjuna's desire to retire from activities on the battlefield was not approved by the Lord. One need only know how to act. To retire from the activities of Krishna consciousness and to sit aloof, making a show of Krishna consciousness, is less important than actually engaging in the field of activities for the sake of Krishna. Arjuna is here advised to act in Krishna consciousness, following in the footsteps of the Lord's previous disciples, such as the sun god Vivishvan, as mentioned here and before. The Supreme Lord knows all his past activities as well as those of persons who acted in Krishna consciousness in the past. Therefore, he recommends the acts of the sun god who learned this art from the Lord some millions of years before. All such students of Lord Krishna are mentioned here as past liberated persons engaged in the discharge of duties allotted by Krishna. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitamtam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Padijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha. The first thing that strikes me about this verse is Krishna is saying in the ancient times. You go, wow, I mean, this was spoken in the ancient times. So even in the ancient times, there were ancient times. Actually, if you think about it, 5,000 compared to millions of years ago that Krishna gave the knowledge to the sun god Vivishvan, 5,000 years ago is yesterday. It's like last week compared to when, you know, the time millions of years ago he gave it to the sun god Vivishvan. And we're locked into our modern idea, the American idea. Well, 200 years ago, what is it? 1776. They declared independence in the U.S. in 1776. So not even 200 years. But they think, oh, that's a vast span of time, you know, the history of the U.S., you see. 200 years. 200 plus years. But 200 years is like that, you see. Even 5,000 years ago is like that. Millions of years ago, this knowledge was given to the sun god Vivishvan. So that kind of blows away the modern scientific vision of the outer space. There's actually a sun god, Vivishvan. There are actually sun beings. Actually, it's not illogical. If people can adapt, if living beings can adapt to being in the water, you see, there's different elements. There's the air. The birds are adapted to flying in the air, living in the air. The fish are adapted to the water. We earth beings are adapted to living on the earth surface, you see. So if every other element has a living entity who can live in it, why not in the fire also, you see? And that's a fact, actually. They're living entities that live in, they have bodies made of fire, so they feel very cool in the fire. Cool. This is cool. See, they can be on the sun planet and say, this is really cool here. It's air conditioned. You see? Because they have bodies made of fire, they feel quite comfortable and cool and cool, calm, and cool, calm, and dry, as they say. And on the earth, on the sun planet, in the middle of all the flames, because they are flames, flame bodies themselves, you see. So the Vivishvan is very brilliant, you see. By his potency, the whole universe is lit up, you see. So he's also a devotee. The Hare Krishna movement is not some new invention. Vivishvan is a Hare Krishna devotee. You see. He received this knowledge millions of years ago. Actually, it's calculated early in the chapter how to understand when Vivishvan got it, the knowledge. That's another detail. But so this is pretty amazing knowledge. And so how does it apply to us? That's the real question. The old, you know, mantra, what's in it for me? Well, first of all, how did they get something? How did these liberated souls get something out of this knowledge? That's the first thing. How did they get something out of it? What did they do and what did they gain? Those are the first two questions. What did they do? Well, the first thing is they heard. You see, Vivishvan heard the science of Bhagavad Gita from Krishna. The first thing is you have to hear. It's like, you know, you have to get the information first. Just like you want to bake banana bread, first you got to get the recipe. You see, before you go to baking it, you got to get the recipe. So the first thing is you get the recipe, you get the formula, you see. You get the directions. You know. So first, Vivishvan got the directions. He heard the Bhagavad Gita also. A slightly different form. It's not that it was on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. That you know, Dharma Chetra Kurukshetra was obviously not in that Bhagavad Gita. But the whole science was there. The same exact science was taught to Vivishvan millions of years ago. So, once you get the directions how to do something, well, it's up to you whether you do it or not. I can give you a recipe for first-class banana bread. Will you bake it or not? That's in your power, you see. You can say, well, I don't... Who cares about the recipe? I'm just going to go down to the restaurant. You see. I don't want to bake banana bread. Or you can actually take the recipe and do something with it. So, these liberated souls acted. That's a very important word here, you see. Kritam. They acted, was performed, thus knowing well, gyatva, evam gyatva kritam. karma, purvai. These past authorities performed activities. How? With knowledge. They didn't just do anything. They got the knowledge, they got the revelation from Krishna, and then they acted on that knowledge. So Krishna is telling Arjuna, well, they did it, so now you should do it too. What is the logic behind that? I mean, if you can tell people, I mean, there has to. What's the logic behind? What's the implied logic behind this statement of Krishna? I mean, why would you want to just do what somebody else did? You know, so and so did something, and now you should do it too. Well, is there any reason? Because you know, I heard so and so, you know, jumped off the tower building, so I should do it too. Is it? No, I have to know why did they do it? What did they gain from doing it? So, the word here is liberated souls, you see. Mamukshabhi is the Sanskrit. They were liberated. That's, you see, this is the point. These personalities, by hearing from Krishna, by acting on the instructions of Krishna, they became liberated souls. So this is the point. Mamukshabhi, you see. They attain liberation by acting on the instructions of Krishna. So the whole point is, okay, Arjuna, they followed my instructions, they got liberated. Now if you will follow my instructions, you will also be liberated. And that point then ripples on down to us. If we follow the instructions of Krishna, we will also become liberated. You see? Because actually Arjuna is an eternally liberated son. But he's under a... he's acting, you can say, as someone who is illusioned, who's in a state of illusion, confusion, you see. So that Krishna can give the knowledge to bring him out of his so-called confused illusion state, which is, he's not actually in illusion or confusion. But he's playing the role of a person who is in illusion, who's confused, because we are actually confused. We are actually in a state of illusion. Now, whether Vivishwan was playing the role or he was actually confused, I haven't read to know to comment on that. I never heard Prabhupada say that Vivishwan was also in Yogamaya. You know, he said, "I'm not going to manifest my sun activities anymore. I'm just going to go meditate." I don't know why Krishna revealed it to Vivishwan. We don't know why; it's not stated. But we do know it's right here in the Bhagavad Gita. He did reveal it to the sun. That's stated earlier in this chapter. So, the point is, by hearing the instructions of Krishna and acting upon those instructions, one then becomes a liberated soul. So then, what is then Krishna say? Therefore, you should perform your duty. What duty is that? Well, I'm going to work, you know, I'm paying my rent, paying my money to the IRS, so I've now become liberated by doing that. I go to work every day on time, you know, sometimes a little late, but you know. I go to work, I please my boss, I pay my taxes, I mow my, got my lawn mowed, you know. I wear clean clothes, you know, so therefore get my car washed pretty regularly, you know, so it doesn't look too dirty. So therefore, I'm going to be liberated by doing that. Those duties? No. That's not the duties being spoken of here by Krishna. You should perform your duty. And the duty is to act in Krishna consciousness. To act in consciousness of Krishna and offer the result of one's work to Krishna. And this is described in detail here in the Bhagavad Gita. Yat karoshi yad asnasi yaj jahosi dadasi yat yat tapashashi konteya tat kurushva madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, as well as whatever austerities you may perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering unto me. Well, can I eat meat then? It's an offering to Krishna? No. Krishna doesn't accept meat as an offering, you see. How about, you know, a beer every now and then? No, Krishna doesn't accept liquor, you see. Krishna says, patram pushpam palam tayam, a leaf, a flower, water, a fruit, a leaf, flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. Patram pushpam palam tayam. He doesn't mention, what is that word? Mamsa, yeah, mamsa. Flesh. In his list of what he will accept. You know the meaning of the word mamsa, the Sanskrit word for flesh? It's quite interesting. In Sanskrit, every syllable has meaning. So mam means me, and sa means he. So flesh means me, he. It makes you wonder, why is it called Mihi? I'm going to have some Mihi today. Down at McDonald's. I'll go to McDonald's and get some Mihi. Why is it called Mihi in Sanskrit? It sounds pretty mysterious. Why is it called, why is that Big Mac that I really enjoy eating, why is it called Mihi? Well, it's me eating he. In the next lifetime, it'll be he eating me. Mihi becomes he me. Mamsa becomes sa-mam. You see? Me, he becomes he-me. So that's why it's called mamsa in Sanskrit language. Sanskrit has very, very deep meanings. If you go get into Sanskrit language, you'll find it's the most amazing language in the whole world. Even the mundane scholars are fascinated by Sanskrit. They have so many, just like even at UT, they have a Sanskrit department. You can get a degree in Sanskrit language. Trouble is they don't know the inner meaning, you see. Krishna says, bhaktosi me sakate, see. Because you're my devotee, as well as my friend. Therefore, I reveal to you the mysteries of my understanding, you see. You can't do it just by being a scholar. Because this is revealed knowledge, as described by Srila Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. 1-2, remember the sloka. It's not 187. I forget the sloka. But anyway, it's chapter 2, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. 1-2. First, 1-2, Atakshi Krishna Namadi.
And that's what I said.
Yeah. No, I said, what's the verse number?
Verse number.
Okay. Atakshi Krishna Namadi. Nabhavad Grayam Indriyai. Sevon Muke Hijivado. Svayam Eva Spudat Yadaha. No one can understand the transcendental name, fame, form, pastimes, entourage, etc. of the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead with his blunt, materially contaminated senses, even if he's a big PhD scholar in Sanskrit. You see. Only those who are spiritually saturated, who are Krishnized, who are transcendentalized, by what purpose? By what means, I mean to say? By engaging in Krishna service, jivado, beginning with the tongue. See, so what does the tongue do? The tongue vibrates and it eats. Birds come out and food goes in, isn't it? Words come out and food goes in. That's the tongue. So if you will have Krishna coming out, Krishna, 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 and Krishna going in, prasad, Krishna, prasad. If you will engage your tongue in vibrating Krishna's name and Krishna's glories and tasting prasad, simply by these two activities, you see, everything else will come. Everything else will come. In due course of time, you'll become completely transcendentalized. For those, a completely transcendentalized devotee of the Lord, he's called a pure devotee, and he can see Krishna everywhere within everything. Such a person, although in his material body, he's no longer attached to his mind or his gross body. He's just like a coconut shell. You've seen those coconuts, when they dry up, you can shake it here on the inside. It's no longer attached to the shell, you see. Even though it's in the shell, it's completely detached from the shell. So when someone becomes a pure devotee, not only are they detached from their body, but even from their mind they're detached. You see. the mind is part of what's called the subtle body. It's just composed of mind, intelligence, and false ego. It's the subtle body. So for one who becomes fully liberated simply by beginning with the tongue, by chanting Hare Krishna and taking prasad, they gradually achieve a state, kirtan, where they're completely detached from their both their mind, intelligence, false ego, and the material, gross material body. And that's called a liberated soul. And this is what they were in the past. And now Krishna is telling Arjuna how he can also become a liberated soul. And he's telling us how we can also become liberated soul. Someone might say, oh, who wants to be liberated? I mean, I thought liberated means, you know, I can do whatever I want, I can do it at Sixth Street, enjoy my senses unlimitedly. That's liberated. I see. Some people have that idea. Liberated means I can do whatever I want without any restriction. Why are you Hare Krishnas? You want to restrict me? No illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. You're not liberating me, you're restricting me. Come on. I'm a liberated man. What are you doing? Trying to bind me up with your rules and regulations? You see? They may argue like that. But they don't realize this point. The healthy state is liberated state, you see. That's a healthy state. Now, a sick man in the hospital, can he eat anything he wants? No, he can't. He's on a restricted diet. For what purpose? Of becoming liberated from the disease. If he eats whatever he wants, he has his brother sneaks all the ice cream and cake into him because he can't stand the hospital diet. Maybe some, you know, cherry pie and some pizza. Come on, sneak it in when they're not looking. I can't stand this bland, you know, I gave nothing but soup and salad here on my special diet and I can't handle it anymore. Well, he's not going to get well. In fact, he might kill him. You see, might kill him. One has to follow the restricted diet in order to become liberated from the disease. If you go on unrestrictedly eating, you will remain diseased. You might even die from the disease. It could get much worse. So now we are diseased, and that disease is called Bhava Rog, the repetition of birth and death. You see. So how to get free from this disease? The disease is there because we're addicted to serving our material senses, which are not really us, they're simply coverings of the self. We falsely think the body is me. I'm thinking I'm a girl, or I'm a guy, you see, a male or a female. I'm thinking I'm an American, an Indian, or Ukrainian, or whatever it may be. We're thinking about these different bodily concepts. But this false bodily concept is tying us down to slavery, to these senses. And when these senses wear out and we have to, and the body dies, it conks out, then we take another one according to our desire to gratify material senses. So to become liberated means, instead of serving your senses, that you engage your senses, Vishikesha, Vishikesha, Sevanam, you engage your senses in the service of the master of the senses. You may say, but wouldn't I be frustrated if I don't gratify my senses anymore? Wouldn't that be frustrating? If I have to, instead of gratifying my senses, I have to serve somebody else? I mean, but that's not an ordinary somebody else. That person, Rishikesha, Krishna, is the source of everything. He's within every atom, he's between every atom, he's everywhere, and he's beyond this material existence. When you water the root of the tree, are not all the leaves and branches nourished? When you feed your belly, are not all the parts of your body nourished? So, when you, instead of serving your senses, when you will serve the master of the senses, Rishikesha, then you're actually serving everything, even including your own senses. That's a really cool thing about Krishna consciousness. So you don't really lose, say, well, I'm just going to serve my senses. But no, you serve Krishna, your senses get served automatically, along with everybody else's senses and everything else. You engage in the universal service of every single living entity throughout all of existence. I mean, wow, that is really something. Because don't you feel good when you do something to help people? Just imagine if you could do something for the ultimate benefit of every single living entity throughout all of existence. Wouldn't that make you feel good, Kirtan? Yeah, you'd feel really good. Wow, I just got to do service for every single living entity throughout the whole existence. Millions and billions of planets and universes. I get to serve everybody. Wow, what an incredible good feeling, you see. So that's called Krishna consciousness. You want to feel good? You want to feel fired up? You want to be blissed out? Take up Krishna consciousness seriously. It's how to do it? Bhagavad Gita, we have it right there. If you don't have a copy, Bhagavad Gita, as it is the first class edition. It gives the full commentary based on all the great acharyas of the past. That's the edition. If you don't have it, it's right there on the table. Put a donation in the little basket and take one home. Bhagavad Gita, as it is. This book will give you everything you need to know, how to become spiritually perfect, how not to take birth again in this material existence, how to do the highest service for all living entities throughout all of existence, including you. I mean, you wouldn't want to be left out, would you? You get to do the highest service for yourself also when you serve Krishna. Therefore, if we're addicted to being selfish in this world, the good news is, this is your highest self-interest. You want to really do something good for yourself. You really want to love yourself in the best possible way, then surrender to Krishna. That's the best service you can do for yourself. The highest self-interest of a living entity is to surrender to Krishna. Because by doing so, he becomes completely free from all anxieties. He doesn't have to take birth again in the material world. He attains his original, eternal, transcendental form in the pastimes of the Lord in his spiritual existence, Padavyama, the spiritual sky. It's all there waiting for you, ladies and gentlemen. If you're willing to purchase your ticket and hop on the airplane, you see. What is the airplane? It is called Mantra Vimana in Sanskrit. Mantra Vimana, the airplane of the names of God. You see, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. If every day you meditate, this is meditation. It's not just a sing-along. like some kind of a sing-along. This is transcendental meditation. This connects you with the source of everything. This connects you with everything. You become absolutely connected with everything, perfectly connected with everything, including yourself, when you chant Hare Krishna in a mood of bhakti or a mood of devotion. That there is Krishna, the Supreme Person. I want to awaken my love for him, so I'm calling out to him to engage me in his service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This mood of bhakti, the mood of love, is the ticket, and the airplane is the mantra. And the spiritual master is the travel agent. That's it. Spiritual master is giving out the tickets for the price of faith. And so, if you have a little faith, in the words of the spiritual master, I know I have my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, the founder of this movement. He mercifully accepted me as his disciple when I was living here in Austin back in 1971. So I can tell you from my own experience, once I accepted the spiritual master as my authority, my whole life completely turned around 180 degrees, completely transformed. As soon as I said that the spiritual master is my authority, now I'm no longer independent. I had a choice, actually, because I was a singer-songwriter, had a little following, not a big anything big, but I had a small following of fans, and I was thinking, well, I can just write Krishna conscious songs and keep doing my singer-songwriter thing, you know. But then I thought that, George Harrison was doing that. I think I could do, he was singing, My Sweet Lord and chanting the names of the Lord, You'll Be Free. I was thinking, well, I can do songs like that too and do kind of like follow George Harrison's style of approach to spreading Krishna consciousness. But then I had a realization. I thought, well, since the real teaching is you're supposed to fully surrender. If I don't fully surrender myself, and you know, how potent will my instructions be? You know, there's a saying that the Prabhupada always used: "Physician, heal thyself." You know, you're going on as a sick man, telling everybody to get cured. If you want to induce everyone to take the cure, then you should take it too. You know what I mean? Why should say you should stop smoking? Bad for you. How effective will my instruction be? The parents will say, "Little Johnny, don't you ever smoke. If you smoke, I catch you smoking, I'm going to give you a good whipping." Even in, that was the truth in our school. That was like that. The teachers had a smoking room in our high school. I remember Westbury High School in Houston. The teachers had a smoking room, their teacher's break room. They would go and smoke. But if they caught the students would go in the bathroom and smoke. If they got caught, they'd be in big trouble. They used to smoke over the commode. And so if the teacher walked in, they just drop it in and flush it before they caught him red-handed, you know, with a cigarette in their hand, burning the cigarette. And it was so ridiculous. You know, the teachers are smoking, and the students are allowed to smoke. I mean, it's just so hypocritical, you know what I mean? So if you want to be actually, I realize if I'm going to actually be effective, you know, for spreading Krishna consciousness, I have to take it fully myself. I said, okay, I'll just become a brahmachari, you know, live in the ashram. I ended up doing that. I actually sold my guitar to pay the temple's rent. That was a big sacrifice, my beloved guitar. Oh, but to pay the rent for the temple, all right, I sacrificed my guitar, you see. Pay the temple rent money. 1 month's rent. My guitar was finished. My whole idea of coming in the next Bob Dylan was all finished, you see. Now I just become Sankarshan Das Brahmachari, and that's much, I realize this is much better than being some big famous, you know, singer, songwriter, being, you know, a Beatle or a Bob Dylan or something like that. This is much better, much more powerful for actually bringing about a transformation in the world. So I was very happy taking up this lifestyle of surrendering to Prabhupada as my spiritual master, taking him as my authority, and just following his instructions. And that's what I'm doing to this very day. For the last, I got initiated in 1971, and now we're talking, that's what is it, 40, 2000, it's more than, we're going into 2013, isn't it? Yeah. So that's what, 42 years, yeah. 42 years. Serving Prabhupada's instructions. And I tell you, it's so wonderful. When you take a spiritual master, this is what Krishna orders, you see. He orders in the Bhagavad Gita, Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshinaha. He says, just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively, render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So I did it. And it works. It really made a complete transformation in my life. I accepted Prabhupada as my authority, you see. And gave up my independence. Actually, I treat true independence. I was thinking I was independent, but actually I was just a slave of my rascal senses. That's all it really was. It was a slave of my senses, you see. And now, by Prabhupada's mercy, I become completely free from that slavery to my senses, which were only relegating me to take another material body again in this material world. So I'm hoping you all can, this message will somehow get through to you. I'm really hoping it'll penetrate through the coverings, of whatever coverings there may be, and actually hit and enter your heart. That's my prayer to Krishna. My dear Krishna, please bless me that these words, I'm speaking your words of wisdom from the Bhagavad Gita. Please, Krishna, bless all these people hearing me today, that these words will penetrate through all the coverings, the multitudinous coverings that we've all accumulated, those coverings, that they will penetrate through those coverings and they can actually become awakened in their desire to surrender to Krishna. And see, that's my prayer to Krishna today. So I can ask now if there's any questions.
Someone might say being slaughtered as a cow is good, because then you'll have another life as a human.
He's saying, someone may say that being slaughtered as a cow is good, so that you can have another life as a human.
Yes, but the trouble is, okay, so I'm going to get this cow, be a human being in the next life. I've sacrificed my human life. I'll become a cow so that cow can become a human being. But the trouble is that cow will become a cow killer in his neckline. And he'll eat you. And then he'll become a cow again. So he hasn't gained anything. Is it? You don't liberate the cows by killing them, so they can become human beings and eat the human beings that ate them. You see, you don't liberate them. If you want to liberate the cow, engage the cow in Krishna's service. Get a cow protection program. You see, take the cows and bulls and protect them. Engage them in producing milk for the deities and plowing the field. You see, now everybody's worried about running out of petrol. They don't realize that just maybe the last 100 years ago, I forget the statistic, people were only using bullocks and horses for plowing. They never used gasoline power. The whole world was fed without any tractors. The whole world was being fed without any tractors, and the air was clean. You could actually breathe without catching cancer. You could go anywhere in the world and breathe without getting sick. You see? So why don't you take those cows and bulls and get a cow protection program? Let the cows and bulls let the bulls plow the field. Actually, they enjoy it. It's like some guys like working out in the gym. The bulls love pulling the plow. It's bliss for them. They like getting out there and using their strength. The oxen love pulling the plow. They enjoy it. It's fun for them. It's not like, we're torturing the poor animal, making him pull the plow. It's not like that. They enjoy. If you ever go, you see oxen in a Hare Krishna farm, they love pulling them. It's fun for them. They enjoy it. It's like a guy working out in the gym. They enjoy it, working those muscles. They enjoy it. And so engage, take the cows and bulls, get a cow protection program, you see. Buy some acreage and start a cow protection program. Put the cows and bulls out there, protect them from these rascal, McDonald's, Burger King, and all these demoniac things going on in the world. Protect the poor creatures, you see. Those creatures engaged in Krishna's service, they'll rapidly come to the human form, become devotees. And they can protect more cows and bulls in this way, okay? Next question. Yeah.
Gurudev, when I was in India, I learned that Agni was the god of fire,
mm-hmm.
and that Surya was the demigod of the sun.
Yes.
And now there's Vibhishwan.
It's another name for Surya Dev.
It's the same
person, yeah.
So what was
he has more than one name. Vibhishwan and Surya the same.
Yeah. Same. And then Krishna is the supreme lord over Surya and all of the.
Yes, he's the supreme over everyone, yeah.
And Agni, what is his?
He's a demigod of fire in general, but Surya is the sun planet. But there's fire also on the earth, you see. It's like when you strike a match, that's Agni Dev, by the potency of Agni Dev, fire is coming in that match, you see. By his power, his potency, the fire is coming in the match. Or, the RT, Agni Dev is being engaged in Krishna's service during the RT, you see. Sometimes Agni Dev gets pretty hungry, just like they had that forest fire in Bastrop, you know. We drove through there yesterday. It was amazing. So many pine trees. They haven't gotten their needles back. I don't know how long it will take. See, they don't produce... The pine trees keep the needles. They don't come out every year fresh. I don't know how long it will take them to get their needles back. They're naked trees standing there in Bastrop now from the forest fire. Maybe still alive, but I don't know if they're dead or what the deal is. But Agni was really hungry, so he had a love feast over there in Bastrop last year, I guess. Any other questions? Yeah.
I was thinking about the Swarupa in spiritual world. Probably I come down to earth because I didn't like the Swarupa there. Maybe I was wrong.
No, it's due to envy of Krishna, that's why. It's not that you didn't like your Swarup. Actually, every living entity in the spiritual world has full freedom to be whatever they want to be in Krishna's service. There's full freedom, there's full humility. If you don't like being a gopi, you can be a gopa. If you don't like being a gopa, you can be a cow or a calf. You can be whatever you want to be in the spiritual world. There's full freedom of movement. It's not that you came down here because you didn't like your Swarup. We came here because we were envious of Krishna. Why he gets to be the Supreme? I want to be the Supreme. That's why we came. Not because we didn't like our particular Swarup. You understand? Yeah. I wanted to be the Supreme. I want to be the Supreme. That's why we came here. This is a world where you can think you're the Supreme. Everybody thinks they're the Supreme. I'm the center of all existence. Everyone thinks they're that way in this material world. Even when we see that little child, you know, the other neighbor kids come over, they look at his toys, he says, "Mine!" You see? Even a little child, he shows that I'm a Lord mentality. Even a little child, the dog showed, you walk down the street immediately, "Ruff, ruff, ruff, what are you doing in my neighborhood?" See, people have this idea that they're the Supreme, that they're, you know, I'm the proprietor, I'm the Lord. And this is the mentality that brought us here. So we have to become humble and meek and bow down to the Lord. That's how we're going to get out of this quagmire, birth and death. Okay? Next question.
When the person goes to the spiritual world, does he have attachment towards the family?
When one goes to the spiritual world, does he have attachment to the family? Which family are you speaking about? His present family in the material world? If one is, of course, the family is a natural object of affection. But if that attraction is, attachment to one's family is very strong, stronger than one's attachment to Krishna, then Krishna wouldn't torture you by taking you away. We've had millions of families and millions of lifetimes. If we have a desire to be attached to friends and family in this material world, Krishna fulfilled that desire. He won't take us back to his abode. If we have that desire. But there's a nice verse in the 10th canto, chapter 5, text 25 of the Bhagavatam. Nakatra priya sangvasa suhridam chitta suhridam chitta. I don't remember the Sanskrit, but the point is the verse is, and by the force of the waves, the sticks come together, and then again by the force of the waves they are separated. So by the force of the waves of time, we've come together with certain family members. But by the force of waves of time, those sticks will be rearranged, will be with different family members. So we've been stuck together with different varieties of family members for millions and billions of lifetimes. So you're saying, what if I'm very attached to the particular family members now? Well, our best advice is this. We don't say, don't deny that attachment. Use that attachment in the service of Krishna. And then you can all be liberated and go back to Godhead together. You see.
My question was,
if a person goes to the spiritual world, he will no longer identify with any particular family in this material world. Because he's had millions and billions of families. You see, in millions, all of his lifetime is just like, each one is just like a little, what's the big deal? The family of this lifetime, the family of another lifetime. They won't be very significant for him anymore.
Even if someone is attached to the family, do they remain with together for the family? Not only spiritual world or even material world, do they remain together?
Maybe, maybe not. Because the Bhagavatam says they don't. There are different examples. And then in Prabhupada's teachings, for example, a man may be very attached to his house, some wealthy man. It's described, this wealthy man, he was very attached to his house, and he died and he came back, he was born again because of his karma, he was born again as a beggar. And he came to his own house and begged. And his own sons were telling him, get out of here. They were chastising him. It's also described that if you're very attached to a house, you can come back and be a cockroach in that house. Yeah, you see. If your karma was very sinful, you're attached to a family, you could come back as a dog of the family, for example. Become the family dog. So, you know, karma is really interesting, what can happen with the laws of karma. The thing is, the real way to do it is if you're attached to your family, you become Krishna conscious and make them Krishna conscious. This is like Prabhupada told my godbrother Jai Gopal. He actually told his wife, but poor Jai Gopal, he was killed in an he was a young married man devotee. His wife was a devotee, but he killed in an automobile wreck. Prabhupada told the wife, he is waiting for you in Vaikuntha, the spiritual world, you see. So if you become Krishna conscious and you make your family members Krishna conscious, because Prabhupada says in our spiritual world, we remember all of our devotional activities. So if we're devotees together here, we can recognize each other in the spiritual world also. You see. Oh, you were my husband or you were my wife. Now we're both gopis or we're both gopas or something. The relationship may be different, but so you can recognize that, oh, thank you very much, you were a very good husband or wife, you helped my Krishna consciousness. You can remember those things. Those things may be remembered in the spiritual world. Prabhupada said them. Narada Muni is an example he gave. So the thing is, the real thing is, you have to be attached to Krishna. And only to Krishna, Prabhupada said. You should only love Krishna and nothing but Krishna. And when you do that, then automatically you love everything and everyone, including your family members. But the trouble is, we love everything except Krishna right now. That's the problem. We love our family members, we love our nation, our community, but we don't love Krishna. That's the problem. That's our present disease. But if you will love Krishna and only Krishna, then you become the best lover, because when you water the root, all the leaves and branches are nourished. You become the best lover of your husband, of your kids, your brothers, your sisters, your family, your neighbors, your community, everything. When you love Krishna, then you become the best lover of everyone. But it all is through Krishna. Through Krishna you love everyone. But if you leave Krishna out of the equation, it doesn't work. E equals MC squared. If you leave out the squared, you just have E equals MC. It's not E anymore. You see, E equals MC squared. So you have to have every part of the formula. You can't leave out part of it. So don't leave Krishna out of the formula of love. If you do, your love will be imperfect. It will be self-centered. Instead of that, you'll all be tinged with the desire to make yourself the center of existence. You'll be tinged with the desire to use your family members for your sense gratification, you see. But if you will put Krishna in the center, now you can purely serve your husband. You can purely serve your kids or your parents. Now you can purely serve them without any selfish motives. And then it becomes pure love, not just material attachment. It becomes a billion times more satisfying than just some material attachment. If I can give pure love, you see, without any tinge of selfishness, then it feels really good and much better than just some material attachment. Does that help a little bit? Your understanding? Did I address your question? I kind of went on many different tangents around it. But did I give you a good understanding? Okay, that's good. Yes?
Gurudev, can our family hold us back if we want to get free from our family and go to Krishna?
Which family are you talking about? The material family in this lifetime? No one can hold you back. There's no impediment. Nobody can hold you back. If you're attached to Krishna, nothing in this world can hold you back, because Krishna is all-powerful. Ahaitakiya pratiyata yatma supersedati. If your love for Krishna is free of any material tinges and it's not interrupted by any, it's going on full-time, then there's nothing in this world that can stop you from achieving perfection in this lifetime. And It's also mentioned that 21 generations of your family, past and future, will be automatically delivered. So there you go. When you get delivered, your whole family will be delivered too. Not only this, but 21 generations before, your grandfather and that whole family, the great-grandfather, the great-great-grandfather, the great-great-great-grandfather, the great-great-great-great, 21 generations in the past, and your future descendants, 21 generations in the future, they'll all get liberated. Past, present, and future, 21 generations, if you become a pure devotee and achieve the spiritual, you automatically liberate all your family members in 21 generations in both directions. So, hey, what could be a better deal if you're attached to your family, you know, chanting Hare Krishna? I'll give you a better deal. You can liberate the whole kit and caboodle. Even Aunt Sally and Uncle Joe. I mean, everybody, you know. You can liberate all of them. Uncle Prakash or whatever it may be. You can liberate everyone, you know. It's amazing.
Does your karma bring you to Krishna or it's choice?
Huh?
Does your karma bring you to Krishna, or you have to make a conscious
your karma, if you stay on the path of karma, you'll never go back to Godhead. Your karma will never liberate you. Karma means entanglement.
No, it is in our karma.
You know.
Or it is a choice that brings you to Bhakti.
It's our karma what?
Is your karma, is it that karma brings you to Bhakti stage?
No, karma will never bring you to Bhakti. Only when you say, karma, goodbye, karma. You have the power to say goodbye to karma by taking shelter of Krishna. Karma will never, in millions and billions of lifetimes, bring you to Krishna. Karma's job is to keep you eternally entangled in the cycle of birth and death. Eternally.
So she's saying, is it choice that brings us to Krishna?
Only the choice that now, you see, you have the ability to get out of your karma, to get free from karma chakra by surrendering to Krishna.
You mean by karma that I should come?
No, it's not karma.
Destiny, what I mean is destiny.
That you did what?
They say, many people say everything is karma. Karma, because of this karma you have this husband, child.
Yes, that's true. That's true of everything except surrendering to Krishna. It's true, that's true of everything except for one thing, and that's surrendering to Krishna. It's true. Your husband, your wife, your job, where you live, your house, when you got sick, when you died, it's all karma. Everything is karma, except there's only one thing that's not karma, and that's when you surrender to Krishna.
So the rest are all karma?
That's not karma.
No, the rest are...
Everything else is karma. Absolutely everything else is karma. There's only one thing that's not karma, and that's surrendering to Krishna. Because surrendering to Krishna means you're becoming released from karma. That's what it means. Surrendering to Krishna means release from karma. Karma will never release you. You have to make the conscious choice. And Krishna gives you the power to make that choice to get out of karma chakra. As long as you don't surrender to Krishna, you remain completely a slave of karma. But when you surrender to Krishna, now you are the controller of your own destiny now. Before karma controlled your destiny, now you are the control of your destiny. Let's see. You were destined to die at a certain day, a certain time. If you surrender to Krishna, it can be completely changed.
Once we surrender to Krishna, does our future karma change?
Yes. See, karma means there's two energies. There's the material energy and the spiritual energy. Karma means conducted by the material energy. But when you surrender to Krishna, you're no longer under the... Now you're under the spiritual energy. Now Krishna personally arranges for you your future and what happens to you. It's no longer the material energy. Now it's under the spiritual energy. When you die, it's like an astrologer can tell you you're going to die on, you know, such and such date. An expert astrologer can give you exactly when you will die because of karma. But if you surrender to Krishna... That astrology, you can prove him wrong. Because Krishna doesn't keep you. Krishna has the power to do anything he wants with you. It states in the Isha Upanishad, which I think we have up there, isn't it? Sri Isha Upanishad is available. should be on the counter there. That one can aspire to live for hundreds of years if he goes on doing work in that sort of way. That means bhakti, Krishna consciousness, because that sort of work will not bind him to the law of karma. If you engage in bhakti, you can completely baffle all the astrologers, because you can completely transcend the laws of karma. You become liberated from karma by surrendering to Krishna.
You know the word prarabdha karma, right?
Yes, yes.
Prarabdha karma is what you have to undergo this janma.
Not only prarabdha, but ongoing karma also.
Okay, some karma. The prarabdha karma change once you surrender?
You understand?
What's the question?
I said that prarabdha karma change. Can I answer that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva dharman paritajya mamekam sharanam raja. I will remove all your sinful activities, whether it's prarabdha or now or any time.
Sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami. All your sins, I deliver you. Sin means karma. You have to suffer karmic reaction for every sinful activity. Krishna says, Sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami. I will deliver you from all of that karma just by surrendering to me. I see. So it's a pretty good deal, actually, surrendering to Krishna. It's like being a heinous criminal, you know. They put you, there's no escape, your life in prison, but then, you know, the governor says, well, I'm going to give you a pardon, you know, and you're a free man. Wow. It happens sometimes. The President of the United States sometimes pardons people, or the governor will pardon someone. On death row, he gets a pardon. He's a free man. So Krishna gives you a pardon. Now all your karma, it's gone, finished. Clean slate. You're a free man. Krishna liberates you from all your karma. If you surrender to him, he'll free you from all your karma. Completely liberated. Okay, Kirtan?
People say that you are someday, because of your karma, you'll go to Krishna. Is that true?
People say what?
Someday you'll go back to Krishna.
They say that someday you'll go back to Krishna. That's true. The ultimate destiny of every single living entity here in this material world is to eventually return to the spiritual world. So you may say, well, if I'm destined to go back, why should I even bother, you know? I'll just enjoy this material world as much as I can, and when that day comes and I'm destined to go back, and go back. But guess what? You'll never go back until you surrender. So, and then the other thing is, if I'm going to surrender anyway, why not just enjoy? But the thing is, you're suffering in this condition, in this material world. Why should you prolong your suffering? You see? It's like saying, well, I'm here, and I'm here in a horrible situation, you know, I'm being tortured, punished. It's a horrible, hellish situation. And eventually I'm supposed to get out, but why not get out immediately if you have the opportunity? That's intelligence, you see. It's like saying, you know, I'm going to get to California, so why not just walk, you know, one step at a time. You get there in about 3 or 4 years, you know, crossing over the desert, walking from Austin to, you know, to Johnson City and on out to El Paso and, you know, Las Cruces and whatever is along Highway 10. You're just going to walk the whole way. Why not, but somebody give you a plane ticket. Why not hop on the plane and be there in 3 hours, you know? Why do you want to take 3 years walking from here to California when you get on the plane? Say, well, I'm going to go back to God eventually, so why should I bother surrendering? Well, you're going to suffer so much in the meantime. Why not get out of your suffering immediately? That is intelligence. Okay? Yeah.
But surrender is, what do you mean surrender? Is it by my own way or is it by Krishna's way?
Surrender means, just like in warfare, you surrender. You say, okay, I surrender on my terms. Can you do that? Okay, I surrender on my terms. No. Surrender means on the terms of the person you surrender to. That's surrender. Surrender doesn't mean on your terms. That's not surrender. That's a business deal. Surrender means on the terms of the person you surrender to. That's, and Krishna wants Full surrender. He doesn't want to make a business deal with you. No, there's no business deal here. Krishna wants total, complete surrender. That's what he demands. Okay? Any other question? Yeah.
At one point, we were at spiritual world, and then we came back. Yes, sir. We feeling that we are great, we are Lord, right? So once we go back after doing this, again we think about...
Yeah, we could come back again, but you know what? Once burned, twice shy. Yeah. You can ask little Amit not to stick his hand in the fire, you know. Mother may say, Amit, don't stick your hand in the fire. It'll burn. He doesn't know what burn means, you know. He thinks, well, it looks so beautiful. It's nice blue flame there. It's so pretty. It must be really, it's an amazing thing. So when his mother goes out of the kitchen, he sticks his hand in the fire. He screams and cries. His mother says, what happened? I burned me. I told you not to do it. But it looks so pretty. Is he? Will he do it again? No. Could he? Sure. But will he? No. So you could fall down twice, but you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't stick your hand in the fire twice, would you? Is he? Yeah.
So Gurudev, why do we automatically assume that when somebody comes to the material world, it's because of an envy?
We don't automatically assume it. We take it from authorities.
Because it seems very plausible that some devotees come down here in order to serve Prabhupada's movement.
Yes. That's also, that is not, that's an exception to the rule. Just like within the prison, for example, sometimes, generally if you're in prison, it means you're a prisoner. But sometimes, just like when I was preaching in Oklahoma, I went every Saturday to the prison to do a program, a Krishna consciousness program in the chapel. Was I in the prison? Yes. Why, as a prisoner? No. I came as a chaplain. I was officially authorized chaplain from the U.S. government. You see, authorized by the U.S. government to go in and minister to the inmates, give them Krishna consciousness. So, sometimes within this prison house, generally if you're in prison, it means you're a prisoner, but sometimes there are chaplains, you know, liberated souls, nityasiddhas, who are authorized, like Prabhupada is an example. He's not a conditioned soul. He's a liberated soul. And Krishna sent here for delivering us. So sometimes that's the exception. The rule is everybody here is a prisoner. But sometimes Krishna personally comes or he sends great devotees, like Lord Jesus Christ also, to liberate us from our imprisonment. That's an exception. The rule is everyone here is a prisoner. But there are sometimes exceptions, very, very rare exceptions of liberated souls who are sent here. It's not that everybody up and down John Munway is a liberated soul that was sent here. It's very rare. But there are such liberated souls like Prabhupada or Lord Jesus Christ who were sent here, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakura, Bhakti Vinod Thakura. There are such great liberated souls sometimes out of Krishna's kindness. Questions more? Yeah?
In regards to the karma or conscious choice or Krishna consciousness, like it's also said, right, that you have to go through so many lifetimes of like purificatory activities to even chant Hare Krishna one time. So it seems like there is a certain criteria maybe for chanting Hare Krishna. So how do I understand this?
Yeah, but actually it's said that if you're engaged in devotional service now, you must have been engaged in it previously. Of course, obviously you have to start at some time. If you're doing it previously, you weren't doing it all. You weren't always doing it, otherwise you wouldn't be here. So even if you were doing it in previous lifetimes, it was something got you started doing it, and that was when you began the process of surrender. You made the conscious choice to take up the process. Now, and sometimes it's said that you can't go back in one lifetime. Prabhupada sometimes mentions that. Of course, Prabhupada's grace and Lord Chaitanya's grace, it is possible. And Prabhupada confirmed that as well. By Lord Chaitanya's special mercy, in this age, even in one lifetime, you can go back to Godhead by the grace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if one was chanting previously, in order to qualify to chant it now, then that means at a certain time in the past, you chose to take up the path of bhakti. You just didn't finish your business. It's like now, some may take up Krishna consciousness. They don't become perfect. They'll take birth again and they continue Krishna consciousness in their next life.
But
next life also one has to make a conscious choice, because Krishna consciousness is presented and still you defy it.
Yeah, it happens sometimes. Great those souls who were almost perfect, a good example is Bibhamangala Thakur. He was a great, he had achieved almost spiritual perfection, but there was a slight tinge of material desire. He took birth in a wealthy family. And you know what wealthy family means? They oftentimes become playboys because they have all that money and they can enjoy their senses. So he became a playboy type character, enjoying a prostitute girlfriend. It's pretty degraded, but because he'd had that previous qualification of becoming, of being advanced in Krishna consciousness. One night, it was a huge storm. His girlfriend, Chintamani, she lives on the other side of the river. And one night it was storming like crazy, but he just said, I gotta go to Chintamani tonight. He just couldn't control it. And so he went out, he braved the storm, the river was swollen, he grabbed a log to float across the river. And it turned out to be a dead corpse. He didn't care. He just floated across and using a dead corpse. He was so passionately desiring Chintamani. He got over there to her house and the gate was locked. But there was some vine. He grabbed the vine. It turned out to be a snake, but he didn't care. He climbed over the wall. He finally got in to see Chintamani. And she said, Viva Mangala, what is this nonsense? If you've just been so dedicated to Krishna as you are to this flesh and blood, you'd be a pure devotee by now. And he came to his senses, you know, what am I doing? You know. And he immediately set foot for Vrindavan to give up material life and become a surrendered devotee of Krishna. But along the way, he'd been so addicted, you know, in that lifetime as a playboy type person, so addicted to enjoying women. He saw a beautiful Shudra woman walking on the road, and again his mind got captivated. He just became, you know, lusty again, seeing that beautiful Shudra woman. And he followed her home. And in those days, he was a Brahmin, actually. In those days, the Brahmins were so much respected, we can't even imagine. He followed the Shudra woman home, and the husband was there. And the husband, oh, a Brahmin has come. He received him as an honored guest. He lustily followed this woman home, and the husband received him as an honored guest, if you can imagine. And he said, well, how can I serve you? He said, I'd like to enjoy with your wife. And he said, all right, yes, you're a Brahmana. And so he went to in the bedroom to enjoy with the woman, and again he realized, oh my God, what am I doing? He said, Mataji, because in Vedic culture, every woman is just his mother. He says, Mataji, mother, please give me your hairpin. He took his and put his eyes out and blinded himself. So he had never again become diverted by lusty desires. And he went to Vrindavan and became a great transcendentalist. Became the famous Suridas. He lived for hundreds of years. He lived as a liberated soul, actually experiencing his transcendental identity in the spiritual world, even while here in this material world. And Krishna had personally come to him and there in Vrindavan. He became a great soul. So he had that carryover from a previous life, but he had become totally diverted by sense gratification. But then, with the help of that of Chintamani, his girlfriend, and he later on glorified her as a Siksha Guru for how she had saved him from degradation.
So that another life is still, I would say that everybody is given the opportunity, because we have chanted Hare Krishna or any kind of religious activity, we have gotten the human form. So the conscious choice has to be made when I'm going to accept, because we get to hear, there has to be a conscious choice.
We have to make the conscious choice, as a man. Even if you're doing it previously, you have to re-choose it again. It's not just automatically you're forced to chant Hare Krishna because you're previously like doing
it. Many people will come here.
Huh?
Many people will come here and we give them the knowledge, this has to be done. But how many takes it?
Very, very few. Manushanam sahasreshu kashchit yatiti siddhaye kyatatam mati siddhanam kashchit mang bhujitatvataha. Bhagavad Gita chapter 7, text 3. Out of thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who achieve perfection, hardly even one knows me in truth. It's very, very real. We try to tell everyone, but very few people actually take it. If you're fortunate enough to realize that Krishna is the Supreme and you surrender to Him, you're very one of the most fortunate persons in the whole universe. And if you can even then actually do it, then you're even more fortunate than them. Yeah.
Srila Gurudev, we have also heard that it is maybe not karma, maybe not choice. It could be Vaishnava's mercy because of which we can be.
Vaishnava's
mercy.
Yeah, but you have to take the mercy. A Vaishnava can give you his mercy to tell you about Krishna. But if you don't take it, then you lose. You have to make the choice to take that mercy. You realize, I just been blessed with the greatest good fortune in I could have ever had in millions and billions of lifetimes. This person has come as he told me that I'm not in my material body, I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. Let me do it now. You see, it's not just some of the Vaishnava comes and hypnotizes you and makes you a devotee. No. You have to use your own intelligence. You understand? It's like now you have to understand with your own intelligence. I can't think for you. You have to think for yourself. But you have to realize with your own intelligence by analyzing very clearly what's real and what's not real. And understand this is the absolute truth. Krishna's words are the absolute truth. Yeah?
One also makes the choice. Then how much effort they're going to put also? It's not that somebody can force. I said, nobody can force.
Well, it's up to what? It's a voluntary thing. Surrendering to Krishna is voluntary. No one can do it for you. You have to choose to do it yourself, and then you have to do it. That's all. It's not that someone else can do it for you. You have to do it yourself. They have you know, these do-it-yourself manuals, you know. Do it yourself. Well, this is do it yourself. Krishna consciousness, do it yourself. Okay, we'll stop here. And let me just say, Raja Vidra Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.